For Thanksgiving today, we turn to Luke chapter 12. I keep record of this, and on Thanksgiving, I've never preached on this text before. And it kind of goes into the topic backwards, because what we're going to talk about is a person who missed the main ingredient, not just for this day, but for life. Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.'" And we'll pick it up from there. I think you know the context of the story that Jesus was teaching, that we should be thankful for what we have and reflected in our lives. And in 24 hours from now, basically Thanksgiving in America will be done and over and everybody will be moving on. That's the way we are. We're getting ready for December preparations, the holidays down the road. But if you want Thanksgiving to persist, if you want a soul that is secure, a heart that is full of Thanksgiving, then look. Look with me into an empty tomb where Jesus used to lay. And from the life, the death and the resurrection of Christ, you can find everything, everything that tells you he lives, and you will let his love embrace you. Now, in the United States, it's Thanksgiving week, and I literally say as we roll up to the table, even though the numbers may be smaller, that the table's going to groan under the weight of the sacrificial turkey and the cranberry and the potatoes. Maybe you have the creamy potatoes. Some others have the red potatoes. But we all have too many potatoes. It's amazing. Dinner rolls and pie, pumpkin pie. I mean, the tradition is there. And in almost every family, you're looking forward to grandma's what it is. In our family, it was always poofy salad. I'm not sure what that meant. Or green beans, you know, with sunflower seeds. People get used to the process of this special day. And it means more than just food. Of course, they're gathering family. And then as it is finished, you know, they start to attack the next event with the intensity of Eisenhower on his way to Normandy Beach. It's Black Friday. Here we go. But you realize, don't you? We're past malls and crowds in the parking lots of Walmart. It's not going to happen. Because that just isn't going to be the process in 2020. It's actually going to be somebody who unsheathes their machete and goes for the lowest cut price online. Let's get it on Amazon, and here we go. But I tell you, it isn't just oiling your remote and having football games and being able to turn to Pandora's most preferred Christmas carol list or mix. It's deeper than that. In fact, careful listeners may have noticed many Thanksgiving traditions have very little to do with giving thanks to God. And the reason is that there's this little voice of discontent inside the human heart that always says, "I want the next best thing, something more." It drives us, it urges us that I'll only be satisfied when I finally have enough. Do you ever get enough food on Thanksgiving? Well, how do you come back and eat at 4 p.m.? Somehow you do, don't you? You know, in fact, rather than a stampede to the banquet table, we should back away as you're doing today and take a look. Because there is usually something missing. By the time even the celebration is done, The reason we want to move on is because we're still hungry inside. We're still looking for something that is this little discontent voice in us saying, you'll be content when you have enough, and yet you never seem to have enough. Turn to page 10 with me, and that's where my outline is about gratitude. Of course, that's the special word today, but let's make it gratitude for God. We need that more now than ever, especially this year. I think I've heard more grumbling this year than ever, even in Wisconsin. You know, when you get to wintertime in Wisconsin, hardly anybody says anything good until Thanksgiving, and then they're all happy again. Did you see the weather this week? Yeah, rain and cold, and it could have all been snow. So you know how people encourage. Security can never rest in a storage barn. How much is it going to take to banish greed? You know, a reporter asked John D. Rockefeller, the richest man of the day, how many millions will satisfy you? And his answer was, the next one. And Carnegie, also of that same era, was asked the same question, how much would be enough? And he replied, just a little more. Interesting, because the insight there is picked up in every culture. Did you know the Japanese have a fable that kind of mixes this in about security? Tasuku is the star of this fable. He's a hard-working man. His hands are rough because he worked cutting stone. Liken it to a mason who's worked his whole life with heavy, hard things, and he's all bent over. He's muscular, but he can grumble with the best of them. So Tasuku saw a prince come in with all his men and his colors and his beautiful horse, and he said, I wish I could be like that prince. And in the fable, in fables you can do this, he became a prince. He had guards around him, and he thought, I am now going to be so satisfied. And they ate and had a banquet, and the next morning when he woke up, it turned out to be the hottest day on record. Pretty soon his guards were wilting, the horse were falling on the ground, and he thought to himself, now that doesn't make me feel very secure. So he wished, and was granted, to become the sun. Now he was the sun, and shining in all his glory, and this goes on several layers, probably many more. I'll just take it to the short stick. That a large violent cloud came along, dashed him with water and the power of the wind, and he wasn't satisfied being the sun anymore. So he became a big gray cloud. And then as a gray cloud, he moved everybody around until he hit the mountain, couldn't move the mountain, so he wished to be a mountain. Point of their fable, he would never find security in the things around him. Could it be that we still have that problem today? Oh, yeah. And that's why Jesus warned, watch out for all types of greed. That's the point of this story. And in Paul's writing, it will be godliness with contentment is great gain. So let's talk about that. Nothing in this world can give you total peace. Do you doubt that we have a problem with this? And look at our communities. We are among, as you've heard almost every Thanksgiving sermon, we're among the most affluent nations ever. And it is true. We have more access, not only to funds, but to stuff. I mean, go ahead and order, and you can have a box at your door every day from the big corporation with a smile on the trucks. It is possible for you to have more, even as an average American, than kings and queens had in former generations. I know you know that. But let's look at what goes behind that. Will you be satisfied with the next best online diet plan? It's just going to be a pill and you'll be perfect, right? And then it's not working. The reality is nobody, at least nobody in this world, has the ability to make you secure, and nothing, at least nothing in this world, can give you total peace. And there's a good reason God has made it that way. Because he wants you to turn back to him and seek him and praise him and thank him. I have a fishing friend that he had a boat, you know, for years and years. It was one of the lower Lund boat types. And he went out fishing regularly, and he always desired getting that perfect fishing boat with a little trolling motor, sit up high. He would have a swivel seat, and he wouldn't have to ever get up, right? So he finally got the funds and bought it. Fished for a whole year and sounded like a happy camper until the end of the year when he stored it. And then when he got it out, it didn't work, and he had to work on it. And by the end of the second season, he figured out he had spent 2 hours for every hour that he was out on the water trying to fix it and get it ready. And he sold it because it was making him stressed. So what happens when a person plans without God? Well, it's a fleeting future, isn't it? As we learn from this story. About 2,000 years ago, as he was trying to teach us pure priorities, Jesus, the ultimate reason for giving thanks, brought in a story about a rich landowner. He brought in the bumper crop. He had the best of the best, like the best year. I've heard farmers, and if you think that farmers don't have stress, they look at their field every day wondering if it's going to make it to the end. And this one did. The biggest harvest ever. And I'll let you hear it from him because he can tell the story better. Then he said, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Did you see what was missing? Humble appreciation for the source, looking to God. There was no real giving of thanks. It was all a plan without God. And you know, his plan looked good on paper, except for the one thing that he couldn't control and he didn't even think about. He didn't plan for what was coming. Because in the next words, Jesus says, But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Interesting. He never thought he might need God's help. And then his tomorrows were terminated. Okay, do you see? Thanksgiving is about a gratitude for what God has done in our lives. To receive and then hoard God's blessing for yourself or for just for those that you think are close to you will end up snuffing out your life. And if you think you can live without a relationship, and really that should be the thing that we think of on Thanksgiving, a relationship with the child that God sent to fulfill his promises, you're wrong. You cannot be content without Christ. Now I'm going to build towards what it means to have security by looking into the manger. What's just about to happen? We're going to race into a new church year. Advent isn't about a calendar where you get to open a bottle of wine every day. You can get those at Costco. It's not an adventure, as they put it. It's about the coming of Christ. It's about a relationship of seeing and knowing the face of God in that person. William Stidger was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. During the 1800s, the man had been a very vital, dynamic person, but he had become an empty shell of himself. And though he had seen a certain measure of success, he was going to need help. No other family, a close friend came by and said, "Bill, you're going to have to do something, and I have a secret for you if you'll just follow what I tell you. Are you willing?" Because he could see the depression. And Bill finally said, "Yeah, this is a miserable life. Tell me what I can do, and I'll do it." He said, "I want you to write a list, and I'll come back tomorrow. write a list of all the people that are thankful. How many do you think you should put on the list? And this showed the character of Bill. He said 50. And his friend said, really? Okay. You show me the 50 names of people in your life that you've been thankful for. Came back the next day, long list. It was 50 strong. And he said, now, I'll give you a second assignment. I want you to pick one person off of that list for whom you are most thankful, who has influenced you the most, that you remember. And then I want you to write a very detailed, special thank you letter and send it off. Who did he pick? It was a teacher from his early grade school years that had influenced him. Not only helped him to get over the hump so he could read, but she encouraged him. She saw the good in him. And so he wrote the letter and he smiled while he was writing it, thinking of her, mailed it off. By now she was a very old lady. And he didn't even think about any return. A week later, he got a letter back. It was written in a shaky hand. It was from the teacher, he could tell by the address up in the corner. And you know what she said? Dear Willie, calling him by his childhood name, when I think back over all the children I have taught in my lifetime, you are the only one who ever wrote to thank me. I have kept your letter on my nightstand. I read it every single night, and I will cherish it until the day I die. Woo! Went over the top of his head with joy that he had had that influence. And you know what he then did? His friend came over and described for him how the Lord Jesus came into the world to give. And that it is in giving and thanking and talking to others about him that you will find joy. And he resolved to talk to the teacher about his faith in Christ. And then he went on, because he had such a good time writing that letter, and wrote 500 more. He was the happiest person, he said, in his whole life at the end when he finally learned the secret of contentment. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. You see, this is why the Samaritan was grateful, not just for the physical healing, but his heart was healed by Jesus. Thanksgiving will always start with a manger visit. Security comes from that joyful experience. Look at the faces, the sublime faces of the angels who sing like they have never sung before, glory to God in the highest. And the faces of the shepherds, now with a permanent smile because they've been to the manger and they have been so affected by the person there and his coming and God keeping his promise, that their whole life was changed. You see, in the face of that child, in the face of Jesus, is our complete hope and our peace. Alan Gardner served as a missionary in Picton Island at the southern tip of South America. It was very remote. They only got a shipment in about every 6 months and often didn't have enough. So a very difficult life, often with disease and starvation. He often would not have enough food. And so it became a very hard life, but he continued to work and serve his Lord Jesus. What's interesting is that he passed away at 57, pretty young, and he died of starvation. Now, that doesn't sound like a great way to end, does it? It sounds like that would give you an opening to shake your fist at heaven and say, why didn't you provide, God? Why did you send me here? Why should I work for you? But you know what he wrote in his diary? The last entry they found next to his body was this: I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. And so were the martyrs. Even as they gave up their life, they were thankful. Because you see, there's a special equation. In the life of Christ, there is something none of us could get anywhere else. It was the perfect life given in perfect love, transferred over to us. He takes all our problems, all our fears, all our anxieties on himself, all our sins, and then he in our place dies. The power behind thankfulness is the good news. And it is in the resurrection that our hearts live again and again. And so the cycle that we're entering from Advent all the way to Easter is a concentration on the one face, the one person that's going to make the difference in our hearts and our souls. You know, do you want Thanksgiving Day to be something more? It can only be so in a secure heart and soul. Let others run after false fortunes. We have all we need. When you have Jesus Christ as a Savior and you know him day by day and you say, now I lay me down to sleep in his name, don't you have something that is different in every way? The way you see the world is different. The way you set priorities, the goals that you go after, what makes things important, and even whatever what might make you afraid, it's all different because of him. There is this one thing that you need that he has already given you. And at the end of the day, and hopefully at the beginning of the day, you remember all that he has blessed you with, from the forgiveness of sins to the promise of eternal life. Notice that Paul taught godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's because he had met Jesus face to face. And instead of being destroyed, he had been forgiven and recreated. So Thanksgiving is not a tax that you pay that's due in November. It's a genuine response of a life offered back. My final example. About 20 years ago in the mission work, and Mike knows this, that he has been over there, that often they have absolutely nothing. This is a girl that had just gotten married. She had a brand new baby. And because of the fear and love for her baby, she began to come and listen to the gospel. At church, she found a joy that was beyond anything she had before because she felt secure. And so after the sermon one day, she was sitting in the front. They brought out the offering basket. It actually was a plate. And gave it to her. She had absolutely nothing to give, so she put it down and stepped into it, turned around and smiled at the congregation. It was a simple statement. I give him my heart, my soul, myself. And if you don't have that security at this time or that total peace, then give me a call. Text me. Email me. Because Tom and I, especially, and all of our staff, want you to have this. Because you can take all of your hurts and your problems and give them to him. He has filled every need, just as you read from the other scripture. You will let go of every fear, every hurt, and every longing because you're just thankful to know him. Amen.